The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Roto-World Football Show. I'm Patrick Daugherty, joined, as always, by Mr. Denny Carter. It is Tuesday, May 7th. There have actually been some signings in the NFL, so we have some new news to talk about. Tyler Boyd, just before the show, kind of finally saddling up Tennessee. They seem like that have been percolating for a week or two. The Titans totally remade the receiver core. It's totally Jover for Treylon Burks.
Oh, it's never been more over.
Would have liked to see his career be a little more not over than that. We'll see. Let's talk about someone who needs a second chance elsewhere. Yeah. Talk about someone getting a yet another second chance. Odell Beckham, now Miami Dolphin. Malik Washington, truthers and shambles. That's me. DJ Shark to the Chargers. We'll talk about that one. A guy who actually could get some opportunity. Mm-hmm. Also had quietly 500 yards last year. Talk about some news items on Tank Dell, Joe Burrow, Marshawn Lloyd in Green Bay, Jonathan Brooks in Carolina. Denny would like to talk about under the radar wide receiver Johnny Wilson, sixth round, ended up with the Eagles. And then Denny said, why don't we talk about some tight ends? So we might talk about some tight ends later in the show.
We love our sicko tight ends. And, you know, if you're doing best ball right now, which I know you weirdos are doing best ball, I have some tight ends for you that you can pick in the last round of the draft and not want to throw up.
Denny will never talk about a normal tight end.
No. Forget about the good one. Laporta, Kelsey, Hawkinson, those guys. I refuse. It's in my contract. I don't have to talk about those guys.
That is one of Denny's pledges to you. My pledge to you is to have something weird to talk about off the top. And it's like, what is today? Yeah. So it's May 7th. It's like 85 finally outside here.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. What have I not worn lately? And I wore this long sleeve thing and I'm dying.
Yeah, you look ready for, I don't know, March, maybe February.
Absolutely dying over here.
Yeah, I'm wearing a T-shirt.
You are.
I just came, a V-neck T-shirt, if the folks are listening. And I just came in from chipping golf balls for about 6 minutes, and I was drenched in sweat to the point where I thought I might have to delay the podcast.
You might have to shower again.
It's hot.
Denny, how big is your backyard now at this point? 10,000, 11,000 acres?
It's 11,500 now acres. And, you know, it's
you finally got the Turner parcel.
we talked him out of it, like in There Will Be Blood.
Yes. The Bandy track.
The Bandy track. I love the Bandy track. Everybody loves the Bandy track.
Boy, did we just date ourselves? Or I wonder if the people, Zoomers, have they ever seen There Will Be Blood? Do the Zoomers know who Daniel Day-Lewis is?
No, they've never seen him. So, I mean, think of it. This is 18 years old. I think the movie is 18 years old now.
17, but who's keeping track? Yeah.
Was it 2007?
Yeah, end of 2007.
Really? Okay.
It doesn't matter.
I'll take your word for it.
Not trying to semantics here.
So yeah, I mean, but think of this. I mean, back then you're talking about a movie that would have come out in 1990. You know, if you backtrack that much, that's a long time. It feels like a long time. It doesn't. I can't quite grasp that.
No, but Zoomers, if you're out there, get the Criterion Collection version, which I'm assuming exists. of There Will Be Blood, Google the Criterion Collection or subscribe to the Criterion.
We have a lot of homework for the Zoomers as far as movie watching goes.
We do. Then I think every David Lynch movie has a Criterion Collection edition, by the way.
So look into everything Pat just said.
Do that, man. Yeah. And strongly, powerfully look into purchasing the Bandy track. And I don't believe he murders for the Bandy tract. I think he just like steals that one.
No, he does get extremely intoxicated.
That's right. I think someone might die in pursuit of the Bandy tract.
Yeah, no, someone did bite the dust, unfortunately.
Part of Zoomer culture is no sweat. Well, thanks. Now you just ruined the Bandy tract storyline for me.
I once online talked about a 40-year-old Friday the 13th movie, and someone legit was mad. Like, thanks for spoiling it. I said, this came out under Reagan. What are you talking about?
You can't ever talk about a single plot point of a film on Twitter or X, as you insist on calling it. You can't ever talk about the Tennessee Titans offense, but we're going to. They have Will Levis at quarterback, who he threw hard and far last year, but did not throw accurately or well necessarily. But they keep adding receivers. I guess they're building around him, Denny.
I know.
It's kind of interesting. I guess I like it better when a team does try. I guess I will give the Titans that. Instead of being like, making it another throwaway year on Will Levis, they're at least going to try to develop him. Tyler Boyd joining Calvin Ridley, you go, though.
Yeah, I think, Brian Callahan, the new head coach, is forcing the Titans into the 21st century. And I think we can be, as football fans and fantasy drafters, I think we can be grateful for that. We have another team embracing modern football for the first time in their franchise history. I think that's cool. I think that that's cool. And you're right. I mean, look, is it going to work with Will Levis? Almost certainly no. But they're going to try. They're going to try hard. And I think that, this is a good receiving group.
It's a really good receiver trio now. Like really, really
so
good.
So I think he can sort of get by, as maybe like a middling kind of starter here and for fantasy purposes. But it wasn't good last year. He was bottom 12 in completion rate over expected. Lots of downfield shots. I think that basically he's going to have to throw more intermediate stuff in order to make this thing work. And I really don't, he doesn't have that in his profile. So I don't know if he can do it.
No, he does not. And I just thought of one interesting point too. It isn't really a young quarterback. Even when a young quarterback has a quote unquote good skill core, it's usually like one or two like really young receivers with them.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams is kind of an exception to that, having Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. Maybe it'll help Will Levis that in his like kind of like all in on Will Levis year, it's three as veteran as the gets receivers and DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, and Tyler Boyd. Maybe that can speed along his development. It will definitely speed along the answer of if he's ever going to be ready, because he has a skill core that knows what it's doing. And,
right.
So we'll get an answer, I think, on Will Levis this year.
Who is Will Levis's Mason Rudolph is his backup.
Wow.
So.
Uh-oh.
I'm think I will
yeah,
say
benching could be in order.
I will say Mason Rudolph is probably better than Will Levis.
Mason Rudolph was really elite in December. You truly, I'm not even saying this like ironically. You truly hate to see it. He was.
I mean, it's very bleak. I think it speaks a lot to the state of the league. And the way the teams are operating on offense, the fact that Mason Rudolph was a metrics god during the final month of the regular season, it's not good.
So Tyler Boyd couldn't even get wide receiver three value in Cincinnati. And even if Brian Callahan is like lock, stock, and barrel importing the Bengals offense and like a lot of passing volume, Tyler Boyd won't be fantasy relevant with the Titans. But like he has a problem probably for DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley in that he's a legit third body who like you can actually target. So he might have a bit of a drag on Nuke and Calvin Ridley. Like, I don't know if we've had this conversation where can Nuke and Calvin Ridley like both realistically even be in the top 30, let alone like the top 24?
Both of them, I think top 30 sounds doable. I don't know if likely, but doable. I will say, thinking about this Boyd signing a little more, we're talking about a guy in Boyd who was in the slot 85 to 90% of the time in Cincinnati, right? And I thought that part of the appeal of Calvin Ridley in Tennessee was that he was going to get maybe 50% in the slot, something around there. I mean, he said it. The coaches said it. So I don't, unless they're going to bump out Boyd or have him as a rotational slot guy. I don't really know how that's going to fit. It does make me concerned about Ridley's usage.
Or maybe they won't go quite as Bengals as we thought, and it's going to be a lot of like two receiver sets, and Boyd like won't even be on the field except for on like third down, which is still not good for Calvin Ridley because then he's just on the outside again.
We don't want him on the outside.
No, but you're saying Calvin Ridley's Michael Penix just arrived. Oh man, loving life, love my teammates. He's tweeting like a quarterback instead of a receiver, and now the enemy is speaking kindly and holding.
Oh, yeah, I do feel like there's a good chance that Ridley is going to have a lot of enemies speaking kindly to him this year.
Yes, absolutely. So Titans are a team where I know it's only May. I don't really know what could happen between now and September that would, like, change my opinion on the Titans, like my uncertainty feeling. A classic offense, like, man, we're just going to have to see what the heck happens with this team when the game starts because – it's a strange receiver situation. It's a really strange backfield situation. It's a totally new coaching staff. It's a totally new approach, almost certainly, like you pointed out. And we're just going to have to see the Titans play some games. They're going to be a very, very tough team for me to forecast.
It's hard. It's going to be hard to project. I think the best case scenario for fantasy is that they pass a lot more than we're used to, and that they get their best players the ball. Like, they kind of force feed their best players. But, you know, is that likely? I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't. You know, our buddy Kevin Clark seems to think a lot of Bill Callahan, so maybe he will come through for us.
I think a lot. By the way, Bill Callahan is the dad, but he is also on the staff.
Yeah, what's his name? What's the guy's name?
Brian. Bill Callahan is. I make the same reference every single time. Absolutely amazing, rock folk singer songwriter of the deepest voice you'll ever hear.
Yes.
2011 album Apocalypse is a touchstone album for the 21st century. real quick on Tennessee. So yeah, we don't always do this. Let's try to just peel away the irony. Like, is it actually over for Treylon Burks? I mean, what is there left to cling to with this guy? He just turned 24. His 49 career catches. He's only 22 career appearances. I mean, the old coaching staff had zero interest in him. But, like, the new regime apparently has zero interest in him. They keep signing guys. Even if he gets a second chance elsewhere, like, what are we really clinging to with Treylon Burks?
I mean, I think it's there's an outside, very outside chance that things could turn around for him career-wise. But I think the possibility of him being, like, a legit fantasy option, like a plug-and-play, that's probably over now. I mean, I think that, you know, he's proven now to two regimes. They're, you know, like you said, they're not interested. They said he's going to have to earn snaps, earn targets. Yeah. Like that's not a good sign. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's work ethic. I don't know what it is, but
it might just be bad luck. But
yeah, and injuries. He had a horrible concussion.
It was bad. He said a few bad injuries.
Yeah. So I hope he goes somewhere else, but. It would have to be, I feel like it has to be like the perfect situation, you know, for him. And yeah. That just doesn't exist most of the time.
He's on a LaVisca Chenault career trajectory. It seems like basically the next step for him be becoming a role player in a good offense, like ending up somewhere like me. This would be like too good, but like Buffalo, Kansas City, even maybe, I don't know, maybe Dallas or something. Just a role player in a good offense, a good offensive mind who can maybe establish some sort of career momentum with manufactured touches or something, because
yeah,
it's not going to work here in Tennessee. I mean, this is not going to work either. Odell Beckham to the Dolphins. We're part of the problem. Everyone's part of the problem. NFL teams are part of the problem because, man, do they still love Odell Beckham, but like can't figure out why. And he's useful-ish when he's on the field, but he's always hurt. He's a pure role player at this point. I mean, does this move the needle whatsoever? Does it affect Jalen? Because Odell Beckham's not going to create standalone fantasy value, but does it affect Jalen Waddle? Does it affect Tyreek Hill? Can you even muster thoughts on Odell Beckham at this point, Denny?
So you have, you know, last year wasn't so bad, except for that the Ravens just kind of refused to use him as a full-time player. Beckham had his best yards per route run last year since 2018 when he was with the Giants.
Wow.
You know, so he actually was, and we talked about it on the show a few times last year. He was efficient. Like he was you know, he would be out there, he would run 15 routes. He'd see like four targets, maybe catch a touchdown. You know, so maybe that's just the player he is now. I mean, he's on an age, 31 years old, entering his 31 season.
Age 32 season this year.
Age 32 season. So, you know, maybe we just have to accept that. I do see a lot of hype around a guy who might not see 40 targets this year. So it is something. Obviously, you mentioned off the top of the show, Malik Washington, the draft pick for the Dolphins, who profiled as a really exciting wide receiver three option. I guess is hurt by this, but honestly, I could see many scenarios where Malik survives this and is easily the wide receiver three over Beckham.
Or two, where it just helps him in that he gets to develop a little, like, or maybe by the end of the year he's really contributing, but now he gets to develop a little more in silence. He doesn't have to be the wide receiver three right off the bat, like, you know, ready or not type situation.
Right.
For a sixth round rookie is never really a good thing unless you're like Puka Nacua and you're just amazing, which he could be. He did set the single season ACC catch record. Malik Washington.
Crazy production, yeah.
But yeah, so it takes a little pressure off Malik in so much as there can be pressure on a sixth rounder.
Right. Yeah, I do forget that he was actually a sixth rounder.
Me too, where yeah, he very much might not have been the wide receiver three even if Odell did not arrive.
I will say, I mean, if folks want to like understand where OBJ is in his career, you know, he signed last year for the Ravens, I believe $18 million was the price point there. He signed for $3 million base salary this time around.
Even so, that's a lot. Like, what in the world?
I think that's just based on past performance, based on, you know, his name recognition.
See, and no matter what, like, the ceiling for Odell is, like, rotational role player who they want out there on key downs, who can still, like, make a big play moving the chains, can maybe still make a crazy catch, but, like, that's both his floor and his ceiling.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore. I know we're not supposed to say, like, injury-prone guys are injury-prone or whatever. It's hard to ignore the fact that OBJ is never not limping, you know, is never like banged up after a tackle, like has to go to the sideline and they have to go down to the sideline reporter to check on his status. I don't know exactly what it is, soft tissue stuff, whatever, but man, the guy is always hurt. And last year he was hurt basically the entire year on and off, nothing catastrophic, but a lot of nicks and bruises and it kept him out of the game.
He finally had that good game on Thursday Night Football, I believe, against the Bengals.
Yeah,
and he got like hit like super innocuously at the end of the fourth quarter, and yeah, was hurt for like 1 month.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, the linebacker, I think, for Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's right. That was very so. Yeah, Odell. By the way, I already posted this, so sorry if you've seen this on Twitter or X. But like Odell Beckham photoshoppers never rest. Like man. He signed like 2 seconds later, like. Every major website already had a Photoshop of him in a Dolphins uniform. They probably like seriously just had it saved already.
When do they sleep? When did the Photoshop?
When do they sleep? He has been Photoshopped into every NFL team because he has been a free agent like 7 times at this point, or, like a trade candidate like 2 or 3 times. Like, where OBJ's next landing spot? Like I don't think he's going to the Arizona Cardinals, man. I don't really know if he really needed to Photoshop that one.
I saw him Photoshopped into a Toronto Argonauts.
Yeah.
Jersey.
Yeah, I thought that was St. Louis Battlehawks.
Right. And I thought that was mean.
That was mean. That was you, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
By the way, no fear whatsoever with like Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill's volume here, right?
No, we're still talking about 50%+ target share between those two. And no, the whole thing runs through them. And if either one of them is out, then the offense is completely over.
I will say it was a good combination plan to upgrade Cedric Wilson. The Dolphins' third receiver, as we talked about last week, even though you have two elite receivers, third receiver was a major need for the Dolphins last year. They now addressed it with a young player. They've now addressed it with a savvy veteran. The third receiver spot should not be a black hole for the Dolphins in 2024. Third receiver spot will probably be a black hole for the Chargers. We don't even really know, though, like what this rotation is actually going to be with DJ Shark. Joining, who was in this receiver core? Ladd McConkey, Josh Palmer, Quentin Johnston. Is there another veteran in there? They drafted like 2 other guys in day 3. Just a really, really, really weird mix in this Chargers receiver core. DJ Shark could immediately be the number one outside receiver, even again amidst all those struggles and low lights. for the Panthers last year. He did have a 500-yard season. He did average, I think, like 16, 17 yards per catch. You have any good thoughts on DJ Shark ending up in L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, Shark was a disaster last year in Carolina. Like, made boneheaded plays pretty much every week, but he was their best downfield threat. And he does get open, and I think that there's a spot for him in a really horrible wide receiver room in L.A. I think that there is a spot for him. But when you consider this Greg Roman offense is going to be run first, at best, balanced.
What if Harbaugh does the funniest thing of all time, Denny?
And just goes super air out, yeah. And you're just
dead wrong. Attempts are a quarterback stat.
Oh my god. Oh, what if they're like 12% over expected and their drop back rate? Oh my god.
All 37 Chargers fans on X are going to be relentlessly in your mentions all year.
I'll have to delete.
You would. I have to delete.
I can't survive that. I can't survive that. And by the way, that'll never happen.
No, it'll never happen.
Yeah. Never.
And plus, you would never delete.
you know my dopamine situation. I think that there's a role for DJ Chark, but he's going to be a nightmare to project on a weekly basis, I think. I did want to mention, while we're talking about Chargers receivers, this was mentioned to me online the other day when I was talking about Ladd McConkey, you know, having a questionable target profile. You know, he was, if you look at his targets last year, you know,
I love to get out targeted by a tight end. It's amazing.
Right. Or just pure receptions. You know, you look down, you know, four receptions, 1, 4, 6, 5, 4. Like, he didn't have one game over 7 receptions last year. But here's some context. Georgia was just destroying people. Right. And so when you're up except by
Mizzou,
6
except Mizzou.
What?
You said except Mizzou. They didn't destroy Mizzou.
They didn't? Okay. Well, McConkey did, by the way.
Did he really? Well, yeah. I forgot about that.
Well, he had his best, no, second best game of the year. He had 7 catches for 95 yards.
Yikes.
So you know, when you're up by 40 points at halftime, you're not exactly going to be airing it out in the second half. So therefore, like, McConkey didn't produce anything in those games beyond halftime. We do have to remember that, which is why I think looking at his targets per route run numbers was more instructive, and those were strong. So I do still have hope that he can be something of a target dominator there.
It's a valid point. It was a new quarterback. They're always very balanced and run heavy at Georgia. But, I mean, there have been like 19 Alabama receivers in the exact same situation. It's still like 1,300 yards,
yeah,
you know, 1,600 yards, 14 touchdowns. So I don't think you're entirely off base saying it's a bit of a concern.
Yeah, I do. I think that it's a little presumptuous to be like 35% target share for McConkey. I don't know.
No, I know. And two, that is just the classic. I'm sorry how many times I've said this and how many times I will say it. It's so dangerous to connect the dots with rookie receivers, especially, you know, a non-first round receiver. Like, well, I had a Charger. They just have no choice. And they targeted like 2 undrafted rookies instead.
It turns out they did have a choice.
Yes. Exactly.
And they chose someone else.
Yes. Never, ever, ever assume rookie target share or volume for someone who's not like a top 20 pick, probably. Now, there are, of course, plenty of guys who do get the volume. But it can never be just like an article of faith that it's going to – especially like this entirely new offense situation, all that. It's going to be a really, really weird mix with all these guys. So, yeah, we have to really, really be careful with our Ladd McConkey projections. Even if he's the number one receiver, who even knows what that amounts to?
Right. So 25% target share in this offense could be like 100 targets or less.
I just don't think – we're going to get the Alex Smith thing. I don't know how that can happen with Justin Herbert. I really don't know how that can happen.
I mean, the guy doesn't really throw downfield anyway. He'd probably be comfortable in that role.
Yeah, you're right. Man, yeah, Justin Herbert, he's home. He's finally home.
Yeah.
We're home. I'm home, Mom.
Yeah, right. He's going to be asked to throw no more than 5 yards at any given point.
You can go back home again, and you can return to the show right after this. With just 2 matches left, Arsenal continues their fight to stay atop the table when they face Man United at Old Trafford. Tune in this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, only on Peacock.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Do summer projects your way with Memorial Day savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can make the most of summer grilling and dig into gardening. Plus, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like power tools and storage to tackle any last-minute garage project. Summer your way with Memorial Day savings from The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select and stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Any man knew. I mean, you were laughing along with me when they lost to Palace last weekend, right?
It's crazy. I mean, we were texting back and forth, and I said, they'll never get over their loss to London.
So, well, you guessed right yet again. Crystal Palace, this may shock you, is based in London.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, I thought everybody knew that, but I guess not.
So yeah, man knew with a really, really, really tough setback against London. they're not the Reds. The Reds are Liverpool. But yikes, yeah.
You said the Reds? What did he say?
Liverpool is affectionately known as the Reds. It's not a political thing.
I was like, what?
They're the Reds. Liverpool.
By the way, the Cincinnati Reds, I saw on TV the other day because they were playing my Orioles. And those uniforms are cool. Those jerseys are cool. I like
the City Connect ones.
No. I don't know about those. I'm talking about
not the black ones, right?
Yes, the black ones.
Oh, yeah, no, those are the City Connect ones.
Are they?
They're better than some of the City Connects, I'll say that. Listen, no offense to our friends at Nike, but if you have not checked out the Detroit Tigers, quote-unquote, City Connect uniforms yet, never been a worse uniform.
I mean, would you say it looks like you could buy it for $14 at a gas station?
Not a joke. You could buy it for $5 at a truck stop. Like, you know, when you're outside a major metropolitan area, we put our gas up one time before we get into the metro area. You stop at a truck stop or whatever. Like, there's all the those racks, and there's a $5 hat that just says like St. Louis in the most anonymous font you've ever seen. And who would ever buy this?
Right.
And apparently the Detroit Tigers bought 26 of them for their
price. Oh man, yeah. The picture you posted was pretty bad.
Just down, absolutely horrific. Like we got Nike, listen, you got to figure this out.
They still haven't figured it out?
Oh no, they did. Did you hear about this? They did. They total white flag surrender.
Man. Really?
Yeah. They're making the names bigger again. They're making it so the sweat isn't the single most visible element of the uniform.
That's great, because I could see a lot of those dudes' bodies.
I know. They're making the pants fit again.
That's
good. None of this is a joke, by the way.
No. I know the pants were not fitting.
The pants don't fit. Our guy Lance Lynn looks like he's wearing like 16th century king tights in the Nike pants. So the pants are going to fit again. The names are going to be visible again. That was the thing. It was actively depressing me. I know this is stupid, but I'm a baseball mega fan. I watch the St. Louis Cardinals every night. They're terrible. That's depressing me. But it was making this extra element of unnecessary depression that the uniforms looked like they were the knockoffs that you bought in a parking lot, as everyone says. And this is just so unbecoming of the august institution that is Major League Baseball. and they're fixing it though.
Yeah. By the way, your Cardinals, per the metrics, they need to be hitting the ball a lot harder.
The Cardinals need to hit, Danny. I'm gonna lose my mind.
They're not hitting the ball hard at all.
I'm gonna lose my mind. I'm actually gonna lose my mind.
I hope they're okay.
I used to not think that it affected my mood, the Cardinals. But that was just because they were always good. So when lost, it was like, yeah, whatever. We'll win tomorrow. And now that they're no longer good, it is affecting my mood.
Yeah, well, that's healthy. At least.
We love our baseball. We love our NFL football. We love that Tank Dell is going to make a full recovery after being shot in April. Scary situation, innocent bystander. Seemed like just a scare, though. Horrible scare.
Yeah.
Tank Dell, though, he was already recovering from a more concerning injury, a lower body, like traumatic, like orthopedic issue. So he's going to be healthy. But is he really someone – is he even draftable in 12-team redraft?
What?
Well, after they added Stephon Diggs, two of the biggest target earners in the NFL, Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs – Tank Dell, is he just going to be a role player? Sounds like you obviously at least think he's draftable.
Yeah. I definitely think he's draftable. I think that there's a viable scenario. I can sort of see it in my mind's eye where Stephon Diggs is the odd man out here. And that he completely melts down, obviously, and it becomes a distraction for the entire team. And they deeply regret making the acquisition.
They cut him back over.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of avenues for Diggs to just ruin this team. This is a good solid team, right?
Almost spit out my coffee.
I'm sorry, a good solid team, really good head coach. The GM's finally making moves, doing the right thing, following the analytics. They have a potentially like legendary young quarterback. The offensive line is they're shoring it up. The defense is good. And they bring in this guy. This guy could tear it all down. I don't know. Anyway, I like Tank Dell as a potential value, depending on his health. But I think that Nico Collins probably would profile as the wide receiver one.
A 12-team, 16-round draft. Like, when are you really comfortable drafting Tank Dell, though? Like eighth or ninth round?
Yeah, probably somewhere in there. I guess if someone really wants him, I'm not gonna like be devastated if I don't get him. I'm off of Diggs at his ADP, if you couldn't tell.
Being off Diggs is one thing, but like Dell requires injury optimism and targets optimism. It's just like it seems like a classic let someone else draft him here. But
it'll be frustrating. I do think that, you know, the glory days of last year where you felt really good about plugging and playing Tank Dell for a while there. I don't think that that's coming back unless there's an injury to Diggs or Collins, unless Diggs gets phased out or something like that. Right. But I could see Tank Dell not being in two wide receiver sets for at least a while. And that's not good.
No, not good. Not good. Amidst wildly ill-informed online conjecture about his health, Joe Burrow has already resumed throwing. It has been a lengthy recovery, though, from his wrist injury. Joe Burrow, as we know, always kind of banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Still has his top two receivers for now. It doesn't appear T. Higgins will be traded before the regular season. Can Joe Burrow still be an elite fantasy quarterback, this guy who doesn't really run? Will probably run less than ever now. I mean, not Joe Burrow, of course, scramble. Joe Burrow doesn't run? That's curious. I've seen Joe Burrow scramble a lot, but I bet he will probably do it less than ever this year after injuring his wrist. Yeah. Can we really just trust like the mono threat Joe Burrow at this point with his injury history to like be carrying a fantasy team as like a top seven or eight quarterback?
As a top seven or eight, yeah, sure, maybe.
You think he can still be top seven or eight? Yeah, I mean, he could be.
Yes, sort of, but no, he's going to carry no one's team. I mean – he's going as QB7 right now in early drafts, right after Anthony Richardson, right before Kyler Murray. I mean, I would just kind of breeze past him there. I'm much more interested in Richardson. I'm much more interested in Dak Prescott, who's going at QB9. I'm more interested in Jordan Love, who's going at QB10.
Wow.
Love's
only QB10. Wow, that seems a little... Fantasy drafters have gotten, I would argue, too patient. That might be an underreaction.
Yes, right. And the sharpness is reflected in Richardson going at QB6. I mean, there was a time not too long ago where a guy like Richardson, a second year guy who missed almost all of his rookie season, would be going as like QB 20 right now.
And confirmed all of his red flags. And
yeah. Right. And he would be, but he would be forgotten. And now it's like, no, I'm drafting him at the absolute top of his range of outcomes. Obviously.
He didn't confirm all his red flags. He actually beat one of them back. He was throwing a lot.
He was
before the injury, but yeah. Wow. Yeah. I knew there was no discount on Anthony Richardson right now. Would you rather have Joe Burrow or Caleb Williams at cost? Quote unquote?
So Caleb Williams is going as QB 11. That's a good question. I would think that Caleb will have a little more rushing potential. Not a ton, but some. And you know, his receiver situation is outrageous.
It is outrageous.
I mean, barring some sort of injury to one of those wideouts or something.
Keenan Allen's never been hurt.
No, nice. Not since last year.
Yeah.
I would rather probably have Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I think I would rather have Caleb Williams too. It just seems like it's going to be like the empty calorie volume guy you want this year. The ADP is never going to get out of control. I think he'll just stick around that QB like 10 to 13 range, depending on your draft. Yeah, Joe Burrow was running less than ever last year. He was running more than ever the year before. Less than ever last year, under 100 yards rushing for the first time in his career. That was in only 10 games, of course. Zero rushing touchdowns for the first time in his career. He had 5 the year before. That inflated his fantasy numbers.
Yeah. I mean, he's a distributor. He's a point guard and like Cousins, right? And no one is ever like super psyched to start Cousins in fantasy. I mean, he'll give you a nice floor, a really nice floor.
Nice floor. And like Cousins, he will win a week sometimes.
Sometimes. Actually. I mean, if the game script breaks just right and all that. Yeah, for sure. And I get that. I get that appeal. Can I tell you the quarterback ADP that makes me the most angry?
Yes, please.
I'm gonna try not to get worked up here. Tua is going at quarterback 13, which is not horrible, but Jaden Daniels is going as QB 15.
Really? That seems like not like with the community I know.
So you're telling me that you're going to draft Tua over Jaden Daniels, who has a shot to break the all-time quarterback rushing mark in a single season.
Well, I think everyone, though, is just in their mind's eye. They're hovering over the draft button on Jaden Daniels, and they're seeing, like, the week 3 broken insert, whatever it is.
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah. I get that. Clavicle.
I don't know. He didn't give himself up there, Tony, at all. Oh, yeah, we're not going to show that one again.
No, they won't be able to show any replays of Jaden Daniels. It's Jaden Daniels.
He just didn't go down. The defender actually even waited. They gave him the opportunity to slide, and he did not. And he paid the price.
We slowed down, super slow motion. You can see the defender saying, slide.
So he almost looks like he feels bad, Jim.
And there goes Daniels, and he's out. And yeah, I mean, so, but I mean, come on, I get that. But like, if you're draft, I just, poof, that doesn't check out to me at all. It'd be like, yes, I want Tua 220 yards and 2 touchdowns and zero rushing production. That's what I want over Jaden Daniels, potentially 150 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, no, it does make no sense. Yeah, the quote value of Tua really did great for all my teams last year.
Yeah, he's actually a horrible fantasy quarterback.
He was good the first half, but the second they started playing real teams, it went totally haywire.
Not a good reality quarterback, but an especially bad fantasy quarterback.
That's true.
I have, like, Tua for me is like a guy I would draft in a 2QB league or super flex if he plummeted like out of sight from his ADP. No, 0 interest in a guy like that. It's just, if for fantasy purposes, it's just not interesting at all.
We've seen the absolute ceiling for Tua, too. I mean, I guess maybe famous last words when someone like Mike McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, but doesn't seem like there's another step for him to take. And
I mean, like, I'm looking at these ADPs, J.J. McCarthy going at quarterback 25, Drake May going at quarterback 26. Both of those guys are going to outscore Tua this year. You understand that, right?
Do you really think Jaden Daniels should be like 9 QBs ahead? Or excuse me, that Anthony Richardson should be 9 QBs ahead of Jaden Daniels? I know we're like, this show has become like a certified Jaden Daniels, like, hater show, but that seems totally preposterous.
It's true. Yes. Here's the thing about Jaden Daniels. Lots of red flags, potentially like franchise alteringly bad pick. Also, he's going to be great. He's going to be great. It
doesn't matter in fantasy. It does not matter.
He's going to be so fun for fantasy. So you can hold, if you can hold both of those thoughts in your mind, I think that you would do well. You know, good luck battling it out on the internet. But
straight up, who do you think scores more fantasy points, Anthony Richardson or Jaden?
I mean, Jaden Daniels could easily outscore Richardson. That's what I mean though about Richardson, is that he's being drafted at or near his ceiling right now.
Yeah, so it's concerning.
Yeah, am I that interested in a guy that, okay, like he's going at QB6, he could finish the year as QB4. Yeah. I mean, is that like that big of a get? I don't know.
Someone just says the word arbitrage, and I'm just like, what do you mean exactly? And
you can shut down a lot of discourse by screaming arbitrage.
You can. And I was like, okay. Then don't worry, this person does easily beat me still, but it's not because of that pick though.
I've been playing in the league with this guy for 16 seasons, and I've never beaten him once.
I've never once beaten him, but he'll be wrong about that one. And you would be wrong if you thought we weren't taking a short break. We'll be right back after this. The road to the Indianapolis 500 later this month continues this Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern with the Indy Grand Prix on NBC and Peacock. Find out who takes the checkered at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Road Course.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear debris with the 40-volt jet fan leaf blower. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Almost made it through there.
Yeah, you did okay.
The checkered. I need to remember to read them before the show. I need to practice. But what do you think of my announcer voice, by the way?
I think it's good. I think it sounds like you practice in the mirror.
I know. It sounds like that until it becomes evident that I didn't. Like, Pat can't say the word checkered. Never seen this word in my life.
You know, but I do think it's kind of natural to do that. Like in rare cases where you have missed a show and I've had to do the ad reads.
I mean, no, I know. It's like human instinct somehow.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Where I'll be like, okay, folks, we're going to take a break. And next week on Peacock, we have racing and horses.
I know. It is a really, really weird human instinct, since this medium, the medium of reading ads, has only existed for like 80 years.
Right.
So, I guess 100 at this point, but yeah.
Everybody shifts. Oh, there's a great SNL sketch about this with Ben Affleck what is his name? I forget.
Matt Damon?
No. It was Fallon. It was Fallon and Affleck did this great like DJ voice off. this is a long time ago. The Zoomers won't remember, but it was a good sketch.
I've had so many bits in my life of like announcer voice. I should probably do some of them on the show at some point, but I won't.
You should.
It's always, the name is always, it's Ken Carlson here on, it's always involves the word hot. Yeah. 109, and like my FM dials even go up to 109. But
we have in the DC area, we have big 100.
every municipality has a big 100. Come on,
we love our big 100. It used to be called Oldies 100. I used to like it better as Oldies 100.
We had Oldies 103.3. Now it plays like only Taylor Swift songs.
Oldies used to be actual old songs, not U2 from the year 2000.
Hey, that's. It's old. I know. Growing up, oldies would be like Eleanor Rigby, Good Vibrations, like a Carole King song, maybe,
like,
or something.
Elvis.
Yeah, yeah, it was like Elvis, or yeah,
Like Little Richard.
Roy Orbison. Know? Roy Orbison was like the new song on the oldie station. yeah, Little Richard. That is a good point. Like Chuck Berry. Yeah, now oldies.
Now an oldie is like, here's the
Katy Perry, the Eye of the Tiger.
Here's the Chili Peppers from 2007.
It's an oldie now, man. Under the Bridge is an oldie. It's 30 years old.
I makes my blood boil. It's not an oldie. It's not.
Under the Bridge is an oldie. I don't know what to tell you. It's 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Under the Bridge is an oldie. Josh Jacobs is an oldie. Denny, the Packers offensive coordinator, said he hopes to place day two draft pick Marshawn Lloyd as much as possible. Is Josh Jacobs an age/workload fade? And a backfield that has been obsessed with committees the entire time Matt LaFleur has been in Green Bay? Or is it silly to be worrying about this with someone like Marshawn Lloyd, who hasn't proven a single thing?
I feel like we're like Fantasy X, formerly Twitter, is working itself into a frenzy about the Green Bay backfield. And is like, well, obviously Jacobs is undraftable and I'm taking Lloyd in every draft. That's not going to work. I'm with Kyle. Kyle Dvorak had a great take on this backfield, which is that Lloyd will have some big plays because that's what he does. But Jacobs is going to see like the good stuff fantasy wise, the dump offs, the goal line work.
Absolutely.
You know, like that's what you want. So yeah, I mean, sure. Maybe Lloyd puts a little ding into Jacobs' upside, but this idea that it's like, okay, well, they got rid of Aaron Jones and they brought in Lloyd as the new Aaron Jones. And then Josh Jacobs is the new A.J. Dillon, which makes A.J. Dillon, I don't know, non-existent.
Makes A.J. Dillon a future cowboy.
Yes. And by Zeke would outscore him easily. And you know, look, I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. The offensive coordinator for Green Bay came out the other day and was like praising Marshawn Lloyd, which is fine. You expect that. But he was like, you know, he's like Aaron Jones, but worse, you know, like but way worse. So we're looking forward to that. I've read the quote. I mean, he didn't say that, but he was like Aaron Jones, but not as physical and certainly not as fast, not as good hands, the instincts are off, but
the instincts
he's like Aaron Jones. He is a running back. So.
Wow. Yeah. Good for Marshawn Lloyd. Sometimes it can be tough for a coach to, like, old habits die very hard, but I don't understand. This is not going to be like a yin and yang thing, unless it's somehow with friggin' A.J. Dillon. But, yeah, I feel pretty good about Josh Jacobs. The workload's not going to be as big as it was his final few Raiders seasons, but you know, why would Josh Jacobs not be the first man up on every critical down? There's almost no way he won't be.
I really do think, and it probably doesn't matter if Josh Jacobs is on the downside of his career. I mean, he's not old at all. He's only 26, I think, which is amazing. Because he's crazy. Been in the NFL since 1999.
Yeah, he's a record holder.
It won't matter if he's not good. I think that he's just going to get the benefit of the doubt.
I totally agree with you on that. And Josh Jacobs, he's just going to be like a take your medicine pick this year in fantasy. Yeah. With a much more reasonable ADP. Even last year, people tried to be responsible and fade Josh Jacobs, and it just was not far enough. That happens sometimes.
Man, and honestly, the process was there because Josh Jacobs got a huge, huge workload. You know, the opportunity was there, but that offense stunk, and he was not good.
No. Panthers head coach Dave Canales has said he hopes to utilize the number one running back off the board, Jonathan Brooks, his versatility in the passing game this season. Danny, we know it's the Panthers, but like if Jonathan Brooks like actually gets three down opportunities this year, which Miles Sanders once again like disappointing last year.
Yeah,
this coaching staff has no allegiance to Miles Sanders. We don't want to be in on Panthers, but Jonathan Brooks came off the torn ACL. But like how high can he go in fantasy if they're kind of serious about getting him three down opportunities?
It's hard to imagine that, like, you know, that Chuba Hubbard's going to be phased out, that Rashad Penny is not going to be. Well, I guess that's easy to imagine because Penny was completely phased out last year. But yeah, I'm looking at Brooks is going as running back 27, like right around Tony Pollard, Jalen Warren, Zach Moss. I'd much rather have Warren for one.
Really?
Oh yeah,
I wouldn't.
Yeah, really?
Jalen Warren is a career role player, man. Like this is really? We've already seen his ceiling for sure.
I tend to disagree there.
Once a committee back, always a committee back. I wish it weren't true. It does not matter in the NFL. It just doesn't. It doesn't matter that Najee's not good, that they're not keeping him beyond. It's probably actually bad for Jalen Warren. I'm serious. It's bad for Jalen Warren that they're not keeping Najee beyond this year. So, like, whatever. Like, second and two, like, try to save some tread on
Warren's tires. I see. I see what you're saying. Yeah, like, no,
they're not going to have any qualms about giving Najee all the cannon fodder touches.
Well, I think Jalen Warren's good.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. Well, we never matter.
Yeah, no, I do. I am of the mind that it doesn't matter if a running back is good. So I guess if I'm going to stick to my principles, then yeah, you're right. Brooks, I think Brooks has a long way to go before he's anything close to an every down back. But I guess you could do worse at RB27.
Canales, too. Apples to oranges, all that. He just gave a running back who is not good and Rashad White like 4,000 touches last year.
And Rashad White is not good. No.
He is not good. And if they do something similar, the running backs of the Seahawks had pretty good success 2 years ago too. Although he wasn't even the coordinator though; he was the quarterbacks coach in Seattle. I don't know. Jonathan Brooks seems like someone people are gonna like look for reasons to be out on.
Yeah,
when we should probably be looking for reasons to be in on it. Just my initial instinct.
You're right. I mean, he's someone that I would naturally just completely ignore. And then I would look back in week 7 and be like, why? Why did I not glance? Yeah. I didn't even glance at his name on the draft board. You know, so that does check out. And Chuba Hubbard, for all his opportunity over the past two seasons, two seasons in a row, the Panthers just turned into the Chuba Hubbard show, down the stretch. And they were like, you know, get us out of here, Chuba. We're
play us out. Yeah.
We're headed out stage left. We need you to run at 28.
I'm Dave Davidson. I'm going to play you out tonight with Chuba Hubbard.
28 rushes for 60 yards.
On hot ones.
Oh, man. But anyway. Yeah, so Brooks, you've talked me into Brooks a little bit.
Yikes. Are you going to talk me into sixth-round receiver Johnny Wilson on the Eagles? I don't think so, but you thought – Johnny Wilson on the Eagles, really big guy, right? Like 6'7". You had some broader point you wanted to make about the Eagles offense and their day three receiver.
Well, the broader point I think about Johnny Wilson is that when I looked strongly into Keon Coleman's target earning profile, it was bad. And you know whose was good? Johnny Wilson. And they were teammates at Florida State last year. If I could share some facts and figures about Johnny Wilson, who, by the way, is not going to play tight end. This idea throughout the draft process is, well, whoever drafts is going to turn him into a tight end. And then Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni were asked about that right off the bat after the draft, and they were like, no. What? He's a receiver. Why would we do that?
He's a receiver, but he is 6'7", 235. I don't remember what his combine weighed in. That was what he was listed at in college. So 6'7", 235.
And then they asked Johnny Wilson, and he laughed too. No, I'm not a tight end. So that's probably not happening, which is actually, for fantasy, is probably unfortunate because I think he would be interesting if he had tight end eligibility. But anyway, that's not happening. Last year at Florida State, 29% target per route run rate at FSU. That led the team by a long shot, led Keon Coleman by a long shot as well. And that's really not a standalone figure because at Arizona State in 2022, Johnny Wilson had a 28% targets per route run, which is strong. Even when he only played 4 games at ASU in 2021, his target per route run was 22%, which is not hateful. So I think that he's shown some ability to earn targets now in this Eagles offense. It's so condensed, and we know that with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, like Waddle and Tyreek Hill, you know, garnering 50%+ of the target share. Then you have Goddard, in there as the third pass catcher. Then you have Jalen Hurts scoring every touchdown. So where does it come from? I don't really know here, but I'm just going to keep tabs on Wilson's status because of that ability to earn targets.
Eagles are another team, kind of like the Dolphins, where they have such good high end talent at pass catcher that it was easy to overlook until they started struggling the lack of depth. And where the Eagles just like never had a third receiver last year, ever. Like Julio Jones occasionally was the third receiver. And like, it was a problem. You can't, it's amazing to have two amazing receivers. It's very bad to have zero number three receivers. So it will be interesting. I mean, it's, how do you get the 6'7" guy on the field? He's apparently 6'6", 231, by the way.
He's the biggest receiver in the NFL, yeah.
He's a tight end. He's going to be a tight end. Howie always thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, and like 6 months later, like, all right, yeah, he actually is the tight end.
They gave some reasons, if you'd like to hear them. They said that he has good lower body turn or something.
That's not good. Sounds like they're trying to say strong, a.k.a. tight end.
He runs routes like a receiver. I don't know.
Like a receiver? That's bad, dude. You're describing a tight end. He can run routes like a receiver if you
want. Leave me alone. You know, just it's going to work fine.
Howie, the one of the things about Howie is that he's wrong as often as he's right. He just takes so many shots. He's so much more aggressive than other GMs that he's such a volume shooter that he's right more often than other GMs, but he's also wrong more often than a lot of GMs.
He's wrong a lot. It's so true.
Howie is a journey. Should we talk about the tight ends? Do you want to save the tight ends? You're going to talk about some under the radar tight end target earners.
You know what? We could save that for Thursday because I have some good stuff and I want to really flesh it out.
We'll do that then instead of rushing through. Spoiler, we might talk about K-Dotton. We might talk about Zach Ertz. You need to workshop this one.
I'll share one thing. The Zoomers are going to be absolutely in shambles when Zach Ertz is
Don't say it.
This halfback that they drafted, he's not doing anything.
Was that guy the H-back guy? I was on the clock the other day, one of my rookie drafts, and I just had to take him.
Senate
in the third round. I had to take him. He's the H-back guy? I forgot.
That guy's wearing like number 34 in the backfield. Stop. He's going to be a special teams player.
Kill me. Did I seriously draft an H-back?
And he's going like miles ahead of Ertz. There's just no way. Ertz is with Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury is not even going to know the rookie's name. Has no idea who he is. Zach Ertz is, meanwhile, having every meal from now until the season starts with Cliff Kingsbury.
Man, it doesn't matter how deep the Dynasty League is, never, ever draft an H-back. Like,
Come on. It's just silly. This guy is not doing anything.
Never draft an H-back. Never skip an episode of the Roto-World Football Show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Thursday with Kyle Dvorchak, we being myself, Patrick Daugherty, and Denny Carter. We thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Do summer projects your way with Memorial Day savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can make the most of summer grilling and dig into gardening. Plus, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like power tools and storage to tackle any last-minute garage project. Summer your way with Memorial Day savings from The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select and stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.